Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you all this day. A couple announcements as we begin the service. Special thanks to Derek for gilding the letters on our altar table last week. And also, one announcement about an upcoming church conference that we'll be having on February the 3rd, right after worship. That'll be next week. And were you wanting to? Great. Deborah, would you mind? You're much prettier than me. Anyway.
Yeah, thank you, Curtis.
Oh dear. Now you say amen.
What was I up here to say? I had mentioned this last week, but there is going to be a special church conference next week. On Sunday, it's going to be right after our worship service. It will be a brief meeting, I promise, no more than 15 minutes. And as I mentioned last week, we are essentially looking for the release of some designation on some funds that had been donated previously. So it shouldn't be a big meeting, like I said, 15 minutes next Sunday, right after worship service. And if you have any questions, just let me know.
Thanks, Deborah. You want to do some other announcements? Well, there are a few more announcements. Let me call on someone else prettier than myself, David, for one about one of our members. Thank you, David, and our hearts and prayers go out to Betty's family, and it's nice to have another Betty with us this day, first time she's been able to be back, and Gary, it's good to see you as well. I hope that your recovery goes swiftly also. Are there other announcements that, Sally Ann? Our youth and adults continue to stay busy, so thank you for all that you do for our church. The newsletters will be ready this coming week, and so keep your eye out for those. We'll have those copies of those available here at the church, and also we'll send those out to you as well as need be. Also, any other announcements that might have not been mentioned yet? Okay, well, if there are no other, yes. Friendship Circle 5:30 is going to be meeting to go here at the church to go to O'Charlie's, right? Great. Yes, Kitty. Thank you, Kitty. Well, thanks to everyone for their faithful stewardship here of our church funds and of all that you all give to make what we do possible. Well, I invite you to stand. Our opening hymn is number 600, Wonderful Words of Life. Let's stand as we offer our praise this morning. And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 750, as we read responsively from Psalm number 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
But who can understand the most holy
also, keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable.
Please be seated, and I invite our children to join me down front for our children's time.
Yeah. Today's Bread 10 offering is the last week that we're collecting Bread 10 money for Gwana school uniforms in honor of Renee, Azhar's mother, and Azhar's with us today. We're glad you're back, Azhar. So that will be today. Now, next week, we're going to start on February, and February's Bread 10 offerings are going to be for Redbird Mission. Redbird Missionary Conference is in Kentucky, in the hills of Kentucky, in Appalachia. It's one of my favorite places I have been to Redbird Mission and seen what they do. And this is a very poor income place because it's where the coal mines were, and they're all closed, and they have to make another way of living. It's in southeastern Kentucky. Its goals are very high. They minister to the whole person by addressing their spiritual, their physical, their educational, and their economic needs. They have a school there that they furnish. Redbird Mission is the source of all the schools there. And they have school buses that will go to these tiny little roads up mountains to pick up all the kids. It helps ease the need and the isolation through its churches and mission institutions. This isolation is caused due to the mountains and in this region, which makes accessibility almost, you know, they don't have any. So they furnish the special services of commuting, getting people to the doctor or to, they have a clinic there. They have a craft store there that they make things and sell them to have some income. They have stores, and they support a lot of churches. I have some pictures of all the churches they support in this area. We do this about once a year, and February is our month. And one reason we pick February is because it's so cold, and we have to think about all the people that are in different places that are cold because they can't get to where they have, you know, heat and all. I have a brochure on Redbird Mission Conference, and it is quite they have lots of, and I have some pictures of some churches they support too, and the they have a clinic which they furnish most of their medical because there's too far to go to, and this is one of their little brochures, so I'll put this over here. And if you have any questions about Redbird Mission, it is a very worthy mission because I have seen what they can do. Thank you.
All right, now I'm going to move this, but it's going to pop, okay? So be warned. No, it's not, okay. Yes, it is. Okay, there we go. Well, before our scriptures are read, let us join our hearts together in our prayer for illumination as printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. God of all mercy, your Son proclaimed good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom to the oppressed. As we hear your word today, anoint us with your Holy Spirit and set all your people free to praise you. In Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. This morning I am to read from Luke, the fourth chapter, verse 14 through verse 21, and it is in page 57 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book, found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your presence." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Hear now this word from St. Paul in his letter to the church in Corinth. We'll be reading from the 12th chapter. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of all assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes the church fails to recognize the diversity of gifts among us. We fail to see that characteristic of someone in the congregation that we find a nuisance is actually a gift. We fail to see oftentimes because they annoy us or they're that different from us or whatever, that weakness that we see in a person is actually a great gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the toughest tasks that many churches face, not in the Methodist Church, because we have the privilege of our bishop and the district superintendents assigning your pastor, but in other traditions who have a pastor search committees and things like that, one of the toughest things that they face in discerning spiritual gifts of their pastor is trying to figure out who to choose. And there's a great story of a member of a pastor search committee undergoing this painful process who finally just lost patience with it all. He'd watched as the pastor search committee had rejected applicant after applicant for some fault, alleged or otherwise. He felt like all the committee was focusing on was the negative stuff about these applicants and that none of them were emphasizing the positive things and gifts that they brought. He felt like it was time for a bit of soul searching on the part of the committee, and so when he could just take no more, he stood up and he read a letter purporting to be from another one of these applicants. And so I'll read you a portion of it. It says, "Gentlemen, understanding your pulpit is vacant, I should like to apply for the position. I have many qualifications. I've been a preacher with much success and also had much success as a writer. Some say I'm a good organizer. I've been a leader most places I've been, and I've studied under some very famous preachers and theologians during the course of my education, though I would like to be completely honest with you. I am over 50 years of age. I have not preached in one place more than 3 years. My health is not too good, but I still get a great deal done. I know you're looking for someone who has the spiritual gifts and graces to pastor a large church. So I must tell you that the churches I've preached in have been small, but they have been located in several large cities. I've not had the best relationship with religious leaders in the towns where I've preached, and I'm not the best record keeper. I've even been known to forget whom I baptized. And like I mentioned previously, I feel like I should be completely honest with you. I must admit, therefore, that I have been in jail 3 or 4 times, but not because of any sort of Christian wrongdoing. However, if you can use me, I shall do my best for you. And so, as he was scanning the crazy looks on everyone's face there, the board member looked over the committee and says, "Well, what do you think? Do you think we should hire him?" And the good folks in that committee, they looked around like, what in the world was this guy thinking? And one very vocal person there on the committee said, hire an unhealthy, troublemaking, absent-minded ex-jailbird? Was the board member crazy? Who signed that application? Who had such colossal nerve? And the board member again looked all around and he said, well, it's just signed with, he didn't even give a last name. It just says Paul. It's reported that the committee hired someone that week. This same Paul, who we might know as St. Paul, authored our scripture lesson this morning. Besides being a bit of a jailbird and sometimes absent-minded and always on the move, he was writing to a church that he started in Corinth many years beforehand. This church was about the size of ours, and like Asheville, Corinth was a very diverse community. I like diverse. That's a good word, isn't it? Aptly describes Asheville, don't you think? There were rich folks and poor folks, professionals and day laborers, merchants and widows, and a little bit of everything else thrown in. And the church was composed of a section of all these social and economic classes. And guess what? Take a wild guess. Do you think they got along with each other? I'm always so comforted whenever I read the epistles because it's like, oh, great. I'm not alone. You know, we're not alone. All of the stuff that we face, all the hardships that come up from time to time in the church, they're already there in the pages of Scripture for us, aren't they? And it makes me feel good. It gives me some comfort to know that everything was never hunky-dory in the church. Each little group in that church felt like they were superior in some way to the other groups in the church. The previous two chapters, chapters 12 through 14, really, go on to talk about Paul's main point in them is that spiritual gifts that each person has, that they're not just for their own edification, but that those spiritual gifts have been given to folks for the good of the whole community. In order to do this, Paul employs the use of rhetoric and this analogy of the body that we have here so eloquently and almost humorously used. I'm sad that rhetoric's no longer taught. I mean, it used to be taught in our schools back in the 1800s and stuff. You know, I mean, rhetoric was a benchmark of the classical educational system. Rhetoric's such a neat thing. And you know what? Paul didn't come up with this metaphor all on his own. The political orators of his day were known for using this, but you know how they used it? They would use this body metaphor that we're all parts of a body, you know, and that they would use it to keep down those of the lower classes. They would use it to say, oh, you folks who are slaves, you need to stay in your place in order for the whole body to work right. You know, and everybody can't be rich and powerful and living in affluence. You know, we need some people to be our slaves and that sort of thing. But Paul takes this and flips it on its head. He takes this rhetoric and this analogy of the body, and he flips it over on its head, and he tells them that it's not just here so that those of us who are comfortable might continue to be comfortable, but that those who are already comfortable need to be made a little uncomfortable from time to time in order that some other folks might see that comfort as well. Paul uses this analogy not to keep subordinates in their place, but to urge the more privileged members of the community to respect and value the contributions of those members who appear to be their inferiors, those members who might be weaker than they are in some way, shape, and form, both in social status, but also in spiritual potency. Paul envisions not just the tolerance of differences within the community, but a gracious and compassionate synergy in which all the members share one another's sorrows and joys. Perhaps you've heard that phrase before, friendship divides sorrow and multiplies joy. That's much the essence of what Paul's getting at here in our epistle lesson this morning. He wants the church in Corinth and the church in Asheville, for that matter, to know that diversity of gifts and ways of thinking and acting are not obstacles to be overcome, but gifts to be celebrated and used for the kingdom of God. Instead of trying to get those who don't see or operate the way that we do to come around to our way of thinking, instead of focusing on those areas in someone's life where they might be weak and we might be strong, instead of doing that, we should focus not on their weaknesses. We should focus instead on their strengths. We should allow them to use the gifts that God has given them in the best way that we can. So often, it's very easy for us to focus on weaknesses, isn't it? It's very, especially if that weakness happens to be at the other end of the spectrum of where our gifts are. You know, we always have a tendency to think our gifts are the most important, don't we? I'm not immune from this either. Neither are you all. We have a tendency to focus on the weaknesses, on the parts that aren't quite perfect. But yet, Paul is telling us that we're not all supposed to be the same. Everybody's gifts are not supposed to be the same as mine or the same as yours. By shifting the focus away from a person's deficiencies and towards their strengths, we become the body of Christ. However, when we do it the other way, when we focus on those areas where some folks might be weak, that's when we become more like a body where the brain says to the foot, because you're not a brain, you don't matter. Or where the lungs say to the kidneys, because you don't breathe in the breath and the spirit, you don't matter as much. By focusing on those areas where we are strong, we've truly become the body of Christ. Paul's message is that the focus of the church needs to be shifted from legalism to love, from competition to cohesion, from worry to working together. Here's a good rule of thumb. No pun intended. That wasn't funny, was it? I'm sorry. I try every now and then. Okay. So here's a good rule of thumb for being part of the church, the same applies with any other organization for that matter. Think of the person whose gifts are the ones you don't value. Think of the person who might be a nuisance to you. Think of the person who might see things 180 degrees different than the way that you do. Think of that person for a moment, and chances are they are on the opposite end of the spectrum of you when it comes to your own spiritual gifts. You know, if you're organized, they're probably disorganized. If you're someone who's very talkative, they're probably someone who's not very talkative. Chances are that's the way that it goes. Think about that person for a moment, and then instead of thinking about how they're weak, how they're different than you, think instead about what gifts and strengths they have. Probably an entirely different set of strengths than the ones that you have. Think about that person and learn from them. The next time you feel yourself condemning the way that somebody does something, remember their own unique gifts. And remember that we all have a tendency to think that our gifts are superior to everyone else's or to those who might be at a different end of the scale. But also remember Paul's sermon to us this morning, that we're all one in Christ Jesus and that we're all to be his body in the world. Did you notice there, Paul didn't say you're like Christ's body, you're like the body of Christ. He didn't use that word like at all. He said you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. We all have important jobs to do, each one of us. As members of that body, we aren't all called to be pastors. We aren't all called to be musicians. We're not all called to be administrators. We're not all called to be nursery volunteers. We're not all called to be ushers. We're not all called to be all of these other different things that we have in the church that are all important parts of this body of Christ. But we are all called to be members of the body of Christ. It's hard to function without each and every one of us doing our own parts. Difference and diversity are gifts to be celebrated, not obstacles to be overcome. I'm totally convinced of that. And while I think society-wise we've come great ways in the last 50 years, particularly with regards to race relations, and we start to see, yes, okay, people that are different than us, then maybe that's something that's not. But it goes so much deeper than just that. It goes so much deeper because each and every one of us have been called and gifted by God in some way. Now, I'm not saying we need to do some Myers-Briggs type thing of discerning your spiritual gift. You know, I mean, you know the sorts of things that you're good at, and you know the sorts of things that you aren't good at. But one thing that you can't get out of is that you're called to use that by God for God, and not to look down on others who might have different gifts. Difference and diversity are gifts to be celebrated and not obstacles to be overcome. We need to focus on the strengths of others and focus on the weaknesses of ourselves. Isn't that the opposite, though, of the way we normally do things? I when I say we, I could just as easily say me, you know? I mean, or we could just say I, all of us could. Because we're all just as guilty of focusing on our own strengths and the weaknesses of others. We're all guilty of being that hand that says to the foot, because you're not a hand, you're not as important. I grab things, you know? Or of that eye saying to the ear, you're not as important as me. I see things, and seeing is so much more important. But we're all part of that one body. I think St. Paul, who had his own share of weaknesses, that, let's see, how did that letter put it? Troublemaking, unhealthy, absent-minded, ex-jailbird. You know, I think St. Paul, who had his weaknesses and his strengths, I think he would agree with all that, that we're all connected as part of the body of Christ. Remember that next time you disagree with somebody. Remember that next time you feel differently than someone, or you start thinking about how that person's not good enough, or how that person is not doing what they ought to be doing. Or just remember that. I'll close with one of John Donne's poems, "No Man Is an Island." Have you heard of it before? I really like that one. It's one of my favorites. The group Metallica kind of stole it. It has that line in it, "For whom the bell tolls." Ernest Hemingway kind of stole that part for a book, I think. Anyway, John Donne, before I read this, I'll just do a bit of an explanation. In England, back in the day when someone would die, they would toll the church bells, you know, and so folks would ask, who died? And for who does the bell toll? So John Donne writes, "No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine own friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, sin not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." Amen. Our hymn is number 189. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Oh,
Please be seated. I have one addition to our prayer list. I'll draw your attention to those names there, particularly if you would remember this day, Barbara Peavy, P-E-E-V-Y. Barbara is a dear friend of Julie Nowinski's, and she is coming to the end of her struggle with breast cancer. So if you could remember Barbara this day. Also, remember Mary Jo. She is back in the hospital, another infection and that sort of thing, and she's had a rough go of it, as well as Lucille Bumgarner, who is Aggie McGeary's sister. And so nice to see many of you who have been down with regards to your health here today. But are there other names you'd lift up this day? Well, if not, let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, giver of all gifts, source of all strength, master of all of the world. O Lord, we lift up to you this day those who are in need of your healing hand in their lives, in whatever form that might take. We lift up to you those names that we've shared, but also the names that we share silently before you. O Lord, may you touch them as only you can. And may your touch also extend to our lives. Help us and help all those who give care to friends and family, to neighbors, to co-workers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your word. Your word, which often confronts, conflicts, but that also consoles. Your word that brings freedom. Your word that brings wholeness. We give you thanks for your messengers through the years. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your continued word spoken even in the silences in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. And hear us, O Lord, as we lift up to you in silence those deepest concerns of our hearts. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to Him. Let us pray. Gracious God, source of all gifts, author of all grace, accept these, our gifts to you, O Lord. Take them, use them, transform them and us, that both might be used for your glory here in this place and beyond. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing for our final hymn. It's number 578.
One and four.
578, God of love and God of power.